Okay. So, okay, guys. Fine. So, continuing in the Gemara, and then we're going to come back and start fleshing out details, right? So, the Gemara then says, "Uvavach lo tehei umanato," right? So, as long as it's not his profession. Now, the big problem in this Gemara, and the footnote very nicely just tells you this, right, is that, what is this talking about, right? The Gemara is talking about the context of the other businesses that you're doing, right? Not Shemitah alone, but Truma, Truma and Bechor and not kosher food and whatever, right? And the Gemara says that there, right, you can't make a profession of it, right? You can only sell things if they're accidental. And that, so in that context, talk about it. There's also a parallel sugya in Sanhedrin, which lists several different sins for which, if you are involved with it, thank you, if you're involved with it, you are apostle Eidud. And there, we limit it to cases where this is your business, right? And as I mentioned, the major question there is, does that mean when you don't make it your only business that you are, it's still forbidden, but you're not pasul eidut, right? Or is it for some reason mutter, right? And I said, in the case of gambling, that's a machlokes, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, to oversimplify, right? Where Sfardim tend to follow the position of the Rambam that gambling is usser, but you're still not pasul eidut unless you do it all the time, but it's always usser, it's always gzela, Ashkenazim think. Be lenient, right? Be lenient, and as long as it's not your profession, as long as it's not your. I don't understand what that meant. Fine. So then but I want to quickly read through the Yerushalmi here, guys. So then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Eimatai." When? What does it mean? When are you right? When are you pasul lahaid? Right now, again, the major question here is when the Gemara says, "When are you right? When are something?" Again, it's the same question. Is it when are you pasul? And then you need to explain, well, does that mean that selling Shemitah is usur and nevertheless you're not invalid for being an aid unless you do it all the time, and then you've got to figure out why, right? Or is it saying the more radical thing, which is you're even allowed to be engaged in selling Shemitah as long as you have another job? And then the Gemara says, what does it mean to have another job? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Eimatai bisman she'ein lo umanut. Elahu, it's only when you don't have any, that's your only profession. But if you have another job, which is not it, and then you have two gersod, right? What are the two gersod? What are the two gersod? And here the gersod are a huge difference. They're two gersod. What are the gersod? Mutter or kasher? Right? Right? Is it kasher, meaning it's still usher, but you are not invalidated for being a witness? Or is it permitted? And then if that's the case, then we got to figure out what exactly is the nature of the Isser Schora of Shvi'it, or whatever else is going on here, such that it's not usher unless you don't have another job. Like, that is like, okay, that's quite an extreme formulation, right? And then the Gemara clarifies, hey, Chavida, what does it look like? If for all 7 years, you just don't work. And kevan shibat shvi'it. Once Shemitah starts, hitchil mafshit yado v'notein, b'peret avera. And then you suddenly start getting into business with avera produce. Im yesh, right? So first possibility is even in that case where you don't work the entire 6 years and you only work during Shemitah. So the first position is, im yeshimo malachra acheret kasher. The Imlav puzzle. Even that, you're not invalid, or it's not usher, unless you, even during Shemitah, you don't have another job. But if you work the other 6 years, even if you have no other job during Shemitah, then you are kasher, or mutter, right? Again, right? Kasher, mutter, big difference. Now, that is, of course, the two extremes, right? Which is, you don't work all 6 years and only work on Shemitah, only doing Shemitah, right? Or you work all 6 years, right? And you have another job, right? But you could have a middle case, right? Work all 6 years, right? Yes. So Rabbi Ba Bar Zavda, Rabbi Abba B'Shemir Lazar, Halacha Kerab Yehuda de Matnita. He says the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. Achlis Rabbi Abba Zavdim Rashmua Bidibar Bishem Zerim Hinei, and Rabbi Abba praised this statement from Rabbi Zavdi, even though he was younger than him or less great than him. Tani Rabbi Yudah Luchumra. So now the Gemara says, well, what exactly does it mean? So a different Braita gives a more machmir position. Hey Chavida, what's the case? Hayoshev goes in Malachlo Kol Sheishan Avua. Ubishvid Hitchel Mashed Yad Elisa Vlitin Beperad Avera. Im Yeshem Alam Lach Acheret. Either Kasher or Mutter. Vim Lav Puzzle. Aval Im Loy Ozik Malachlo Kol Sheishan Avua. Kevin Shabbat Ashvid Hitchel Mashed Yad Avinozim Nodim Avera. Aval Pishiashim Malach Acheret. Either Usser or Puzzle. Right? The more machmir position is that there are two ways you could be invalid. Right? One is if you don't work during the 6 years, then even if you have another job during Shemitah, you're apostle. And the other is, even if you work the 6 years, if during Shemitah the only thing you do is sell Perachviyat, then it's Usur. But if you, the only case in which it's either Mutter or your Kashal Eidud is if you both have a job during the 6 years, and even during Shemitah, you have another job, right? So you have the most machmir construal, which is this line, right? Which is the only thing that will make it mutter slash not puzzle eidot, as if you both have a job the rest of the Shemitah cycle, and you have another job during Shemitah. But if either of those are not, then you're puzzle. The other one seems to be, right? That no, the only thing that will make you either usser or puzzle is if you don't have a job the other 6 years, and you don't have another job during Shemitah. That's what we got to figure out, which is what is this, right? So, in the Bavli says, why is all this case? Well, why is this the case? Because if you don't have another job, you are defined as a person who is eino osig b'yishuvo shel olam. You're just not someone who contributes to society, right? Right, you're a bum. That's what it is. You're a bum, right? And as the Ramah understands it, the whole point is that, like gambling, right? Again, for the Ramah, gambling is not usur. It's just that if you're a professional gambler, you're a bum. You do nothing beneficial for society, and therefore you're pasul eidu, right? But what we need to figure out right now, again, the big question hanging over this sugya is, what is the girsa? Is it usur and mutter, or kasher and puzzle? Is this saying, again, that whatever the parameters are, it's definitely usser, because you're selling peruchviat, it's just, you might still not be puzzle aided, then you got to figure out why not. Or is it saying that for some reason, I can totally sell Shemitah produce as long as I have another profession, either during the rest of Shemitah or during the Shemitah year, which is like, why not? I mean, I don't understand. So if I am a huge businessman, I have 25 businesses, right? And I'm making millions of dollars off selling Shemitah produce as long as I'm making other millions, right? So like now I'm, it's okay. It's like one of the things in my portfolio is Shemitah produce, right? So that's not business. I mean, why not? I don't understand. Why is that not business, right? I don't get it, right? Oh, whatever. But again, it seems to be, right? That's why we got to figure out what's the gear seater. If it's mutter, we got to figure out why it'd be mutter. It seems to be mutter to directly sell it as long as you have another job, right? You're coming up with ukimto, which maybe you're right. But the first glance, right? This question should hang over you.
If I own Foxhole, right? And in the middle of Foxhole, I have like a random guarantee. It's like, no one's coming to Foxhole to be like,
yeah, but that doesn't seem to be what it's saying. It seems to be saying, if I own Fox and I own Rami Levy, right? I have another job, right? I can easily be supported by all my, right? Again, all those things you don't know about me, right? Being a Rebbe in Migdal is only one of the professions in my portfolio that makes me so much money, right? This is just the tip of the iceberg, right? I'm really I don't know what I am exactly, yeah. Yeah, all those things that make a lot of money, right? Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, look, rabbis can be in better paying things than, you know, chinuch in whatever, but, you know, I don't have that much else in my portfolio, you know, whatever. Oh, that's nothing. Oh, my God. That's nothing. Are you saying that's a lot or a little?
No,
You're saying that's a lot or a little?
You say that's a lot.
Oh, no, that's not. That's not a lot at all. What are you talking about? That's nothing. Come on. That's nothing. Oh, you know, if in Israel, if you want to make money as a rabbi, you got to work for the government, because then they get the older rabbis who were part of the, like, these early government contracts when Israel was really, really socialist, make so much money. It's absurd. I once looked it up, and like the highest paid rabbi was in the country, like for the government, was the rabbi of like Yavne, which is like a smallish city, right? But he'd been rabbi for like 40 years, so he made something like, it was like almost a million shekel a year. I mean, it's like, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's almost eight, it was like 8 or 9 times the average salary in the country. I mean, it was like, that's a gross salary. Anyways.
So maybe it's a symptom to the fact that this isn't really a
human
business.
Oh, good. So Colby already says, well, wait a second. Maybe if we start talking about not the act of selling, but how am I relating to it, right? So if it's my only job, right, very good, right? I think Kobe's 100% right, that if you're going to have the very surprising girsa of mutter, right, the only thing you can say is that you have to take it from the vantage point of schora is usher because of the way it reveals that you relate to perichviyat. And that's going to be different because in the end of the day, like, yes, if this is my entire life, this is where I make money. Yes, right? Like, yes, right? Jeff Bezos makes money selling a lot of things, right? And he probably makes more money selling, you know, apples, just apples on Amazon than I make in my entire life. But if you ask him, is that like, do you view yourself as an apple seller? He will say, he would say, yes, I, you know, but no, he probably wouldn't, right? I don't know if that's true. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I just remember making my first purchase on Amazon for books, back when it only sold books, right? That was, I remember, you know. What? But you're right, I think that's the direction you're going to have to go, would you? What? Yeah, that's not fully true, but okay. Right? I mean, that's a bit, okay. I don't really want to get into salaries of rabbis, but you have to remember that Orthodox, that reform and conservative shuls tend, because people can drive and things like that, they tend to be bigger hubs, right? And the rabbi of a big Orthodox shul makes more than that, right? It's just that when you're averaging it, you're also talking about every shtiple who has a part-time rabbi who only works on Shabbos, and then you're doing averages, right? Right, meaning what you would have to compare is a 500-family Orthodox shul, right? 500-member family Orthodox shul to a 500-member family, well, right, non-Orthodox.
Every conservative shul or reform shul is going to be bigger on average because they have more accessibility. That's like the inherent thing that
right, but there are Orthodox shuls that have more than that, right?
Yeah, but then it would make more sense to be a conservative.
Okay. Anyways. Look, having, you know, as you guys know, I spent 3 years as the third rabbi on staff in a very, very large, very, very large shul. Right? Right? Yes. Right, Kropkin is the senior rabbi, right? I was the rabbinic assistant, but you needed it because there are, last I checked, counted 11 minyanim in the shop in the bayit at Shabbos morning. Yes. Well, no, that's the crazy thing. It's really not. When I was there, well, there are on an average Shabbos between members and other people who daven, there are something like 1,000 active families in the shul. Families.
How big is the
show? Big. It's big. It's big. Right, Ellie? Right, Ellie? Ellie's father is Gabbai of one minion, right? Shlomo's father is the rabbi of the shul, right? Do you know what Shabbos morning is like there? Do you have any idea what it's like to... I would, like, speak at, like, 5 minyanim on Shabbos morning. I'd give the shir, I'd give the speech, I'd give the... What? It's fun. But it's great. Right? So there are such shuls. This is totally besides the point. Okay, so lo bidas, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Zavdar, Rabbi Avoh, B'shem Rilazar, halacha Kirevi Yuda de Matanita, Aklis Rabbi Babar Zavda de Marshwa, Bisham is Aramine. Okay, fine. So then the Gemara says, Uf Hacha Kain. So now the Mishnah had said that a hunter, right, or a fisherman is allowed to sell non-kosher stuff if it happens upon him, right? And Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to be a fisherman or a hunter for that to be true. So the Gemara says, Ufa Kain. Well, why should it be different for other people? So Amar Rabbi Yossi Barban, Taman Eina Malchoro Neset, Bramhacha Malchoro Neset. Something like, well, if you are a professional, then the government taxes you insanely, so you need to make every penny that you can. And if it's not your job, so you don't have to sell the non-kosher food that happens upon you because you don't have the taxes. Now, this understanding is how some of us take it. Others say that this is a continuation of Shviat, right? This is the Shviat sugya, and then we got to go back and understand it. Okay, so we now have a lot of data points, and the problem is in half the data points, it's not clear whether the Gemara is talking about Shemitah or not. Right? It's not talking about whether it's Usher or Mutter or Psalated or not. Right? So every single line in the Gemara has like 7 million possibilities.
What is the score?
Yes. So now we got to come back to the reason we read through all of this and the reason we need to answer all of this. The reason we spent 2 days just trying to set up the questions in the Yerushalmi is because, yes, as David says very simply, what is this Schora thing? Right, what is Sara? What is it? Right? By the end of this, what in the name of God is Sara? Right? Yes, the real God. What is it? Right? What is it? Last night I briefly went over what a shir I had given where I had tried to summarize some of these topics based on when I did this with Rav Rosenzweig, and I was reliving those shirim when we were just doing the Sara, right? It is a very complicated sugya. Yeah, we are currently doing it. It is complicated. So let us now come back and try to pin things down. Okay, ready? Everyone ready? Stupid cats are ready. Okay. I really dislike those cats.
We need to burn them.
No, we need to burn them.
Only if it's the firstborn black cat, the daughter of a firstborn black cat. What? Okay. Right, exactly. Yeah, somehow I feel like putting ashes of cats in your eyes is not a healthy thing to just try for the heck of it. What do you mean? The Gemara said it was only the firstborn black cat or the daughter of a firstborn black cat.
If you knew,
sure, then it would be fine. Great idea. Great idea. Yeah. So one of my friends posted last night from Tosfos. He's like, Tosfos has this wonderful moment where the Gemara says that fish taste best right before they spoil, right? And Tosos' comment is, don't do this at home. No. If it's about to spoil, it is not best. No. Don't eat it, no, right? Don't do this. This is not right.
No. No.
Okay. Ew. All I can say is ew. Fine. Okay. So now we're going to go back. Guys, we're going to go back now, and we are going to start plugging this in. So, how do you want to do this? Do you want to start literally just by following Mefarshim and how they understand it through the sugya?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that. So then let's go back all the way to the Mishnah, and let's see what we got, okay? So let's go back to the Mishnah, starting where the Mishnah says Mishnah Gimel, right? Yep. Good. Right, so Nun Bet Amud Aleph in the Ozvahadar Daf. Right? Okay? So, let us start then with the Rosh Cirilia, okay? Let's do what we have on the page and go in order. Well, Amud Aleph. Right, so the Rosh Cirilia starting where he says, So Ve'el Atzma, right? So left column about a halfway through the left, right in the left column. Got it? Okay. So ve'al atzmo, v'lo la'achirim, right? Meaning not for others. To nefarish v'azel mishum la'achal v'lo la'skara. Right. So again, he says the reason this is here is because the Gemara is telling you that not only is selling a violation of skara, but dying something for other people is also skara. Right. V'lo bitruma. So the Rashi really starts off and he says, okay, remember, going all the way back, you know, the textual question, we have to answer two questions at each stage here, right? Which is the textual question, which is why do all these other Isurim get linked to the Isur of Schora and Shviat? And the second is, what does that tell us conceptually? So the Rosh Cirilio is going to start by answering both questions, okay? So let's read it. He says, Truma, why aren't you allowed to sell Truma? Why are there limitations on selling in Truma? What does he say? Velo bitrumot, dichtiv behunami achila, v'parashademor, because you have to eat it. V'kulu, now he tells you the conceptual and literary link. Right, he solves the textual and conceptual problem together for you. And he says, V'kulu drashot, didarshinan gabe shviat midichtiv la'achla v'lo l'schara. All relevant drashot here are a function of the chiyuv to eat and not do business. Hachanami, and here too, tani rabbi chiyah gabe trumot, kulu dinin ditami gabe shviat, bitosef did the shviat, biperek vav, bitosef did trumot perek tet. Right. What? Right off the bat, what does he tell you? That what is the common denominator textually and conceptually? Yes. Right. That he says the common denominator is that all of these are fundamentally schora is always a derivative of the limitation on schora is a derivative of the fact that you should, must, however you want to do it, eat it. Someone has to eat it. Oh. So wait, 1 second. Well, 1 second. So far this works for Shviat, check. Truma, check. Right, Bukharot, check. Right, now what's the problem? Right, now we said that in addition to, in addition to what is included, right, in order to sharpen conceptually what we mean and the nature of the prohibition, we also need to explain what's not included. What's the big one that's not included? Maaser Sheni, right? Who holds that? Okay, we'll come back to it. But remember, that was the Ritva, right? The Ritva says you can sell 3 meals, right? Or you can sell it, right? That's obviously mutzer, because then it's lachila. The whole point is, okay. So he says, and then he says, what about the Maaser Sheni? The Kashali, the Milo Tananami Maaser Sheni, the Maaser Sheni Shama Lishvit. The Yesh Lomar, the Chem Tani Lukulu Dine Bimesechta Delay Lotana Lehacha. What's his answer? Because Maaser Sheni has its own Masechta. And therefore he says, it's not a great one. Okay, good. Textually, this is problematic, because so does Truma, so does whatever, right? But he says, it's detailed in Maaser Sheni, so you want to argue on his textual deal, I hear you. But conceptually, what is he telling you? That fundamentally, it's the same, right? Meaning basically his argument is that anything where there is a mitzvah, right?
You know you're allowed,
but there are certain limitations, just like there are, right? Just like Shviat, just like Truma, there are limitations.
Different.
Okay, but according to him, right? Despite their according to him, right? Now you're going to ask me, but aren't these different? Doesn't each have its own qualification? What's he going to answer you? Yes, but he's going to say that fundamentally the right? What's the connection for him? By the way, is he committed to saying they're all equal? No, what is he committed to? Saying that all of them, the Isur Schora is a derivative of Achila. That's why they're linked. Is it about Kedusha for him? No. It's simply the fact that Schora is not Achila. Right? That much is what he derives from here. Now, right? So now, Josh will say, okay, that's very good for Bechor and Truma and Shviat, but what about Shkatsim Ramasim? So what does he answer? And his answer is, you're right, they're not conceptually linked. They're not. Right? He's saying three of them are linked, and once you have three, you talk about others. So textually for him, can you learn anything? Remember we said, we spent a long time in the Yerushalmi. One second. We spent a long time in the Yerushalmi trying to figure out the nature of the Isser of selling Nevelot and Trefot and Shkatzim and Ramasim to tell us, is it going to shed light on Shviyat? What is the Rosh Thurilio's answer?
No,
it's not. And therefore, right, it's very simple. They're here for another reason. So you want to know, according to him, right, after all of this, what is the answer? What boils down from this entire sugya?
Nothing.
Isser Schora is a derivative of Achila. Yeah. Right? That's it. It's a derivative of Achila. Achila v'lo Schora. That's what we know. In what way? So we have different models. Right? He doesn't answer. And then he says, Hani mishum gavne achrin anu, v'hai mishum b'tani, b'dor konim sheket tulachem shal yasbem schora, v'moranam yolef lo mikra, right? Uperis schora dasira. Right now he says, what type of schora is asr in the context of not kosher food? L'knotan k'nei l'harviach behen. It's to buy it in order to sell. D'gabe nevela shenav l'yado b'reshuto k'tib b'ho omachor l'nachri. Because if something happens to come in nevela, you're allowed to sell it. V'chein b'chor mutra l'machro. And a b'chor you're allowed to, because it's non-reish called p'sulei mekdashin. One second. Well, can I finish? One second. And then he says, v'gabe shviyit. But now he comes back and he says, I'm lying to you. Right? Not lying. He's saying, I'm not fully lying to you. He said, it's not happenstance. Right? He's saying, look, fundamentally, Shviyat, Bechor, and Truma, the reason that you can't sell them is because, right, the reason is the limitation on selling is because of Achila. Right? Somehow this is a problem of Achila. And he says, the reason that you can't do business with not kosher food is a different reason. It's because sheket ulachem, it's disgusting, from which we derive that you can't do schora, right? Meaning it's not because you should be doing something else, it's because you shouldn't be doing this. So conceptually, you're not going to be able to directly link the nature of the isser schora by shviyat to the nature of the isser schora by shkatzim, ramasim, nevelot, and trefot. Okay? That you're not going to do. So if you had stopped there, what would you think? That according to Rosh Thurilio, three of these are linked conceptually and the rest are not. Right? They're just here by chance, and therefore the whole sugya in the Yerushalmi about the nature of the Isser Schora by Shkatzim, Ramasim, Nevelot, and Trefot, does it shed any light conceptually on Shemitah?
No.
Right? That if I had stopped at the Rosh Thurilio there, that's what I would have said. Right? Right? But then what does he do? But then he says, not true. They're distinct, but not totally distinct. So what does he say? Look, continuing. And he says, V'gabe shviyat, two lines from the bottom. Kaven de'ose maaseh shel atzviya mishum scharo dami lekone kidei laharviach lahaynu schora. V'chein hiskim rabbeinu shimshon zal. Then what does he do? Then he pulls a fast one, and he says, what does he say? He says, I lied. He said, it's true that what? The source is different, right? Right? Meaning, it's true that the reason that there's an Isser Schora by Shemitah, by Truma, by Bechor is because La'achla v'lola Schora, because there's a value to eating, and Schora is somehow a devaluation of that in whatever way that we're going to see, right? And the reason that you can't scale Shkatzim, Ramasim, Trefot, Nevelot are not because it's not something, but because it is something, right? Meaning, he divides these. Three of them are negations of a positive, and four of them are a negative. You are not allowed to do this because you have to make them anathema, right? You have to eschew them, right? You have to... Yes, right? But then he says, but despite the fact that these are derived from different models, one from a lack of a positive, right, a negation of a positive, the other from a negative, then he says, but they really are the same. Why? Because then he says, because schora, then, right, what he does, it's a fascinating Rosh Thurilio. He says, on the one hand, three of them are derived from a positive and three or four from a negative. But they end up in the same place. And what's the same place? They create an Isser Schora. Right? And then he's mechadesh that an Isser Schora is actually the same whether whether it's negated in a positive or it's a negative. It doesn't matter, right? So he comes back and he says, right, no, they really are linked. Why are they linked? Because schora is the same. It doesn't matter, right? He's mechadesh that it doesn't matter where you generate an iser schora from. Schora is the same. Schora, however you get to an iser schora, is the same. And what's the definition of schora for him? So he says, well, so now if that's the case, can you learn something from the case of not selling kosher animals to Shemitah? Yes, right? Because even though they have different sources, the nature of the iser schora for him is the same, right? And how does he define it? What does he say? Go back. Uperish schora d'asira. What type of schora is asura in all seven cases? Hainu liknotan kidei l'arviach b'hen. Is?
When you buy it to make profit.
You buy it to make profit. Meaning, what's the exception? So if, no. Not even that. I can make profit. I don't buy it. So he says, if I buy a kosher animal and I accidentally shecht it wrong and now it's a nevela, I didn't buy, I can profit, but I can't buy it to make profit. Right? And he says, v'gabe shvi'it. Exactly. V'gabe shvi'it, and by shmi'itah, chaven da usem maise shel atzvi'ah mishum scharo, if I dye it because that's my job, Dummy lekone kidei larviach the hainu schora. He said, "What is right now?" He comes and he says something fascinating. He says, "Remember, we asked why is the paradigmatic case of schora not schora? It's dying. Why is it? Because, but let's sharpen it. Because what's he really saying? What's the nature of the iser schora?"
Profit in the business
something.
Way.
Not to profit. You're allowed to profit. Remember, you're allowed to profit. No. Oh. No, sharpen it. But you're not coding anything in the Tseva case. What's the connection? No. You can't. What is he saying? You can't. Right? This goes back to what Kobe said before. What does the Rosh really seem to be saying? What's the common denominator here? How? How does he define Sora? That I relate to the object as my business, as my means of making money, right? And therefore he says, in the end of the day, right? So, right, it's about how I relate to it. So if I buy a non-kosher animal to sell it, then I'm relating to it as my primary business, right? But if I buy an animal and I fail in my business, right? Right. Right. So then, what does he say? Right. As long as it doesn't come inside, which it wants to. Right. So what does the Rosh Eliyahu say? And that's why. Right. So what does the Rosh Eliyahu say? Right. Come on. The Rosh Eliyahu is very neat. Right. What is he doing? Right. The Rosh Eliyahu says, look. He says a lot of chidushim. He says, first of all, don't think that all seven are equivalent. They're not. Three of them are from a positive. Rather, there's a chiyuv achila. And four of them are, there's a negative. There's an iser schora directly. Nevertheless, they're all linked. Because schora, once there's a schora, however you derived it, it's the same. And what is schora for him? So right, he says you have to be very careful. Once you say you can derive all seven from each other, so he says, well, what do I know from the case of non-kosher food? Is that if I happen to come into possession of nevela because I right, whatever, I failed in shechita, so now it's a nevela, so then I'm allowed to sell it. Totally, I'm allowed to sell it straight, right? No problems. Why? Well, that's really the question, right? Because what? Right? See, and then he says, whatever that is, right? Well, we haven't gotten there yet. But so far in the Mishnah, he says, what is it? Because I'm not konek kedei laharviach. Right? If I buy it, so what, but what is he, what does the Rosh Eliyahu seem to think? What defines Torah? In both cases.
The way you're related to it.
Exactly. It's about relating it to it as Right? It's about, you know, that's exactly what it is. Now Gavra makes sense, right? He's saying it's about how you relate to it. Right? He said, if I buy something to sell, how I'm relating to it? As a commodity, right? If I don't buy it to sell, but it happened to become an avela, then why am I selling it? Because it's in my hands. I got to do something with it, right? And then he says, once you say, as I will let David this have this, once you say it's about the gavra, not the chefza, it's about a problem of how I relate to it, right? That's what Torah is. Don't treat it as a commodity, right? Don't treat it as your profession. Then what? Right, then what? What does that explain for him?
Then the dying case is a...
Why the dying case is equivalent.
Because he treated it as...
Exactly, he's saying, how can I say that buying and selling is the same as working with Perot Shviat? That doesn't make sense, unless the problem of Shvita, the problem of Schora is having a certain perspective, a certain orientation towards these objects.
Okay.
1 second. And now he says, right? And now, which Rishon is he following? No, what Rishon is he following? Look, he says, he tells you, Vikach, Hiskim, Rabbeinu Shimshon Zal. Right? He holds like the Rosh. What does the Rosh hold in the Sugya? Let's see if you remember at this point. We've gotten, right? What? What?
Stunting the maximization in the future.
That was a totally different Sugya, right? So look at the Rosh. Right? I mean, I'll read the Rosh for you. Oh, you don't have it. Kobe has it. Right? Right? The Rosh says... One second. You know what? I mean, it's a long piece, but one second. Okay, so let me just go through the whatever. I'll make the Iker points of the Rosh, right? So the Rosh says, right, that what? The Rosh says that Iser, right? Here's the key points. That one is, according to the Rosh, he thinks you violate Torah whether you buy or you're locate, right? He thinks you can do that also. You can violate in the case of locate, okay? Right, he ends up holding that, right? Only the original buyer or harvester can't sell, but someone else is allowed to, right? He holds like that, Shita and Tosfos, right? You know what? I think it's just going to be easier if we go to the Gemara, right, and then see how the Rosh really actually plays it out, right? Right? Let's continue. Let's continue in the Rosh. In the Rosh really. I think if we want to read it through, let's not speculate. Let's read it. Okay? Turn the page. Lo ye lo keach yirakot sadeh. Right? So the next line in the Mishnah was, don't take vegetables and sell it in the shuk. Shemit parshu b'perek shalosh aratzo. De'en me'em mishum gzer. Svichin, fine. Umocher. So the Rosh says, "Hi, lo keach, lav dafka." So first of all, he holds right again. He's following the Rosh. So he says, "Is it only buying? No, not like the grah, right? You can violate schora either by buying to sell or by harvesting to sell, right? Hi, lo keach, lav dafka. Dafilo sheliktu kedei lamachon, avo bishalokan aser." Kevan de mechazer lasut maisa tagarut. Now the Rosh really was very clear and consistent. He says, why is it that he thinks there are two ways you could violate SCORA, either by picking with intention to sell or by buying with intention to sell. Why does he think both? Right, remember, this is not Tosfot. Tosfot thinks you can only do it by picking to sell. Why does he think you can violate both by buying to sell and to pick to sell? Okay, that was unintelligible. No, because how does the Rosh Terilio conceptualize the Isur Schora? Again, it's about you relating to this as a commodity, as your business. Right? And therefore he says, look, I mean, just read it. I'm just reading here. Right? I want to show you how he plugs in all the evidence. And he says, Umocher, Hai lokeach lav dafke. It doesn't matter whether you buy. Shafilu likton kele machron. Afal pi shalo. Lik lakhan, even though you didn't buy it, asur kevan de mechazer lasot masa tagarut. Look at his language. What's asur? What's mechazer? No, that'd be chozer. Mechazer, right? Which is right. It's like the right. What's right? That's it's constant, right? It's ribindaber, right? It's a stronger, right? It's a stronger formulation because it means you're doing constantly. So what does it mean? It means to circulate. Right? Meaning, what am I doing? He said, I'm going around to do a maisa tagarut. Right? Well, what does he say? I'm trying to do what? What am I doing? Business. Yes, I'm trying to do an act of business. Right? Uschora havya. And therefore it is schoro. Behed yaktani bitosefta lo yehi locate elamim shum seifa nakte ditnan lakach laatzmo. Right? Uvno mochar yado. So according to him, why can you sell it through your son? Bishvilo, kolomar bimkomo mocher bashok, techevan duhulo liktan, vilo tarach bahu, bizol zavin lehu. Right? So what does he say? Why is your son change it? He didn't pick it, he didn't buy it, and what does he say? And therefore what? He's going to sell it for cheap. Right? Now, you could just say that the whole point of this is cheap, but I don't think that's what he means. I think what's he saying? That if you pick it and then let your son sell it, and he's going to sell it for cheap, what does that show about the entire relationship that you have to this produce? It wasn't right? You weren't relating to it as something you own. You weren't expressing, right? You weren't treating it as a commodity. Or alternatively, now, I think, by the way, you could always say the same thing in one of two ways. You could either say that the problem is that you're treating Shemitah produce as a commodity, right? Or that you're acting as a bilim and not treating it as hefker. Right? I think those are related formulations, right? But the point is that it's about your perspective. And if you picked it, but then you let your son sell it and he sells it cheap because he didn't do the work, so he doesn't care. He's not invested in it to sell it for a higher price. What does that show about the way you relate to it? You're not relating it to that way.
That's very subjective.
Yes? That's correct. It's subjective by definition because the whole point here is about your perspective and how you relate to it. And therefore, it is dependent on the subject. That is the point. Right? That's what it means. I know I'm using two different words, two different interpretations of the mean subjective at the same time. But yes, that's the point. There's a certain subjectivity here because it's about perspective. Right? He thinks that Isur Schora is about right now.
Why does he say
I will just point out that which of the two formulations do you prefer? That there's a problem of treating it as a commodity there's a problem that you're relating to it as an owner.
Commodity.
Right, so I tend to favor the first one. I'll tell you why I favor the first one for the Rosh. Slightly. Is his equation between Shemitah and non-kosher food. Right? Where by non-kosher food, you do own it. Right? There's no problem on owning it. There's no hefker. Right? So it seems to be more that sheket ulacham, you have to treat it as disgusting, which means that you're not supposed to treat it as your business, right? But it doesn't seem to be a problem of owning it, right? So that's why, because of his equation, I tend to think that the perspective that he is bothered by isn't the problem of acting as a bailim, of acting as an owner, but is rather as I'm treating this as a legitimate commodity, right? That's the problem. That's how I'm relating to it, and that's the problem. Right, and that's why for him there's not much of a difference between picking and selling. If I'm picking and selling to do business, then am I treating it as a commodity? Yes. If I buy it to sell, am I treating it as a commodity? Yes. And if I work with Shemitah dyes and make Shemitah die is what allows me to be rich, even though what am I really selling? Am I selling the Shemitah die or am I selling the wool, right? Well, I might really be selling the wool, but still, right? I'm selling dyed wool and I'm doing that through Shemitah. In the end of the day, all those come back to a single perspective, right? Of how I've commodified Shemitah. I've commodified Nevela, right? And that seems to be the problem. It's not about Bailut, I don't think, for him, right? Because of that equation, I think, right? And then he says, right? But now let's just read it through. So then he says, but what if I buy it for myself for food and I have leftover? Why is that mutter? So obviously he says, lakach latzmo. Right, so look what he says, lakach latzmo. Bidamim votir. Mutter hu ba'atzmo. Lemachro, kevan de lo lachan g'day lachso lemachro. L'stakar lachila. He said, because if I bought it to eat and then I have leftover, how did I relate to it? As food. No. No. No, no, no. The fact that I bought it for food and now it's a choice between... So that's what he's saying it's not, right? It's very simple, right? Right. I think for him there's a psychological difference between saying, listen, I'm buying 50 oranges to sell, or saying I bought 5 oranges, I have 2 left over, I can't eat it, right? I'm full, but they're going to go bad, right? So now I could either throw them out, I could let them rot, right? I could give them away, right? Or I could sell them for cheap and make a little bit, recoup some of my losses. Why? I don't know, because I have a limited budget for food, right? Remember, according to him, are you allowed to buy it to eat?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll tell me, oh, it's merchandise, you're buying it. But he's going to say, no, it's your groceries, right? Right? It's your groceries. Yes, you paid for it, but still, how are you relating to it? As your food. Right, the fact that you pay is not right. That's not, doesn't change the fact I relate to it as my lunch, right? And therefore, he says, "Listen, right? This happens all the time, right? Like, you know, let me give you a case, okay? Right, on my block, it'll often happen that someone will go to the store and either they'll accidentally buy too much of something, right, or they'll buy whatever, and it turns out the kids don't like it, so it's pointless for them in the house, right?" Right, and then they'll put it on the street WhatsApp group and say, anyone want to buy it, right, at cost? Anyone want to buy it at half cost, right? Why are they doing that? Does anyone look at that and say, aha, this was their business model, right? No, they went shopping. Their kids didn't like it. So now what are they going to do? They're going to let it rot? They're going to throw it in the garbage? No. So then you'll say, why don't you give it away? And the answer is because they're not rich, right? And if they can recoup some of their loss, right, then they will. And if they can't, right?
Loss is commoditizing.
Not really. Not in the same way. Yeah, I'm recouping my loss. In halacha, that's not the same. What do you mean? In halacha, we don't look at those the same. There's a difference between avoiding loss and making money in halacha. And now this is a sunk cost, right? Meaning,
you've already lost the money when you bought it.
That's called a sunk cost, right? But I'm trying to make it less sunk. Right, it's still a different perspective. It is. You're really telling me that you don't see the perspective difference between someone who thought that his kids would like the cereal and bought a bunch, and now, you know, his kids don't like it, so it's pointless. So instead of throwing it in the garbage, he tries to sell it for whatever he can get. Right, so he can go back and buy cereal that his kids will eat. Right.
Even if it's not as much.
Right, even if it's not as much, but get something. You don't think that's a different perspective, as right. Rami Levy, who bought thousands of boxes of cereal to sell to the entire area. That's not a different perspective, really. The Gemara says, Lakach let's mobotir. I bought it. When I bought it, how did I relate to it? As my food. But it's left over, so I'm selling it off. But what do you mean? It was I related to it as food. It was left over. I'm recouping a loss. That's a different approach, a different perspective than buying it in order to sell. I'm not, right? Yes, at some level. Obvious. Remember, you have a problem with the fact that we're calling something not schora, even though you're selling it.
Yeah.
Okay? So fine, come up with different words. Okay? It's selling, but it's not business. How's that? Look.
Let me ask you a question,
okay? The IRS, right? Technically, probably, if you sold off that box of cereal, probably you have to report that on your taxes, probably, right? But do you think the IRS is going to pursue that person for the $2 that he sold?
No.
Why not? Because they understand that even if the letter of the law is that he just made money, everyone understands, like, right? He's not, right? It's not his business, right? It's not worth it. It's just whatever. It is what it is, right? Lakachlos mavahutir, right? It was left over. It's like a garage sale, right? A garage sale, right? When some people sell, here, 20 cents a book, right? Are they commodifying it? I mean, sort of, right? But not really, right? Like, I know, I went to a garage sale a few months ago, right? And the person told me that their thing is that whatever money they make in the garage sale, right, their kids can use it for whatever they want, right? Right, they're mainly doing to clear out the house. But how do you motivate your kids to actually clean up and find the things that need to be cleared out of the house? If you told them clear it out and you can donate it, right, they'd be like, eh, right? If you say clear it out and, right, and you can have some pocket change, right, it'll motivate them. Now, does anybody look and say, aha, that means that the value of the book you're selling is really a quarter? No, if I wanted to go on Amazon and sell it as a used book, I could probably still sell it as for several dollars, right? So you're going to tell me, oh, but you sold it for a quarter, right? Everyone understands a garage sale most of the time is fundamentally not about making money. It's about clearing out of your house. But if I can recoup a few dollars and use the money for pocket change, right, I do it. So, that's a different perspective.
So can you say you want to do
We're not talking about Havla. We're not. We haven't gone to Havla yet. We'll see how he understands Havla. But he's not there yet, right? I think he has a very consistent position. Right, the Rosh is very consistent, right? He explains everything with one... No, am I wrong? I think the Rosh really has a very clear conceptual line of how he explained the entire sugya from beginning to end. Right, and therefore he says, the kol shekein min likit l'atzmo, he said, this is true even if you bought it. But he said, for sure, if what? Right, meaning I think he's sensitive to your problem, because what does he say? He says, listen, I understand that you might not be comfortable with buying and selling like this, right? So he says, it's definitely kol shekein it's mutter when you picked it to eat and then happened to have leftover. Because then, I didn't even buy it, right? I took it from Hefker, I ate it, now I have leftover, so I'm trying to, you know, make a few bucks off of it. But he says, in the end of the day, both are mutter. But why does he say that one is better than the other? Because he's saying, if I bought it and now I'm selling it, you might think this looks more like business. If I picked it, meant to eat it, and now I have leftover, so everyone understands it's not business, right? But he says, at the end of the day, the point is, it's about perspective. It's about relating it to it as, right, you don't like the word commodity because I'm selling it, it's a commodity. Fine. I'm not relating to it fundamentally as my business. Okay, you like that better? Right? I am selling it, but I'm not relating it as my business, right? Okay, so now he goes, Lakach b'chor l'mishtevino. So now he goes to the case where I bought a b'chor, right, for my son's party. Kohen shelakach mechaveru b'chor b'almum l'mishtevino lechol b'regel. Mutar l'macho. Afagav d'lo mechzik k'schora. Kevin d'lachu d'en l'macho l'stakir bo. Right? Even though it looks, the k'mechzik k'schora, he says, you're right. Does it look like schora? Right? This is Josh's problem. He says, wait, I'm selling it. I bought a b'chor and now I'm selling it. Doesn't that look like business? He says, yeah, but that's not what you bought it. You bought it to eat and you had leftover. Right? He's saying, I understand, right? Well, he's totally acknowledged what you're saying. He's saying, I'm selling it. Doesn't it look like merchandise? So yeah, but that's still not how you related to it. You bought it not for that reason. You had leftover. What do you want from my life? Right? Uvip tosefta pligi. And if tosefta, they argue, tanoi ishari limkor yoter min adamim shalachu. Right? They have an argument. Are you allowed to sell it for more than you bought it? Titania Atam, Rabbi Omer, Omer Anilim, Karenal Budamov, Klomer Budam Shekanov, Lobi Arviach Bokum, right? Rabbi says that when you sell it, you can't make profit. But who did not me? The plea of Be'er Shviat, he says the same machloka, therefore is by Be'er Shviat. Meaning, right? What is Rabbi saying? Not only can you not have bought it for that purpose, but when you sell it, you can't make money. Because if you make money, right? I think Rabbi is sensitive to what you're saying. Rabbi says, listen, in the end of the day, if you utilize the opportunity to make money, like you sell it, right? You didn't mean to. But now, you can sell it for double what you bought. What does Rabbi say? You can't do that. Because the second you start over charging more than you bought it. Even though that wasn't your original intention, what are you doing now? Now you're relating to his, right? Now you're relating to his business. You're utilizing the opportunity not to recoup losses, but to make money. The second you start doing that, what does he say? Asur. And the Chachamim say, no, even that's fine. Because what it's about, how you, right? Meaning, I think, right? And what's the machloket? I would say, according to Rebbe, it's about the perspective you have throughout. According to the Chachamim, what matters? The perspective you had when you acquired it. Right? Right? It's about perspective, but is it perspective when I buy and sell? Or fundamentally, what's most important is, what was my perspective when I brought it into my rishus?
According to Rebbe, you can't make money based on how much you bought it for, based on the market.
What you bought it for. Okay. Right? That's clearly about your perspective, right? It's clearly. But we paskin lekula, because since you didn't buy it for this purpose, we relate to it as a mitzia, right? Okay, I made money, right? Sometimes you get lucky. I don't know, the price went up, right? You bought it for your party, right? And in the meantime, there's a run, and now it's more expensive than it was yesterday. Right, so now if you sell, you make money. What?
You buy it on Black Friday, it's still cheap, and then run out of the store.
Correct, but right. So he said, but we paskin that you don't even have to do that, right? Meaning, I bought 50. Right, you're selling it back at market value, which happens to be more than, yeah, you bought it on a sale, right? And now people are buying it at full price. Yeah. Okay. Then obviously it's usher. Okay, we have a few minutes. Let's try to finish the Rosh Hashanah of the Mishnah. So then he moves to the next case, which is the fisherman who happens to get not kosher fish, right? Shinit manu lahem. Shinit dam nu lahem milashon vayaman lahem. Vidavka shinit dam nu hud lo matzrachinan lo lafkirab. This is only if it happens to be that you cap not catch non-kosher fish that we don't make you be mafkaret. But to chase after them, and to fish them in order to sell. Right, he says, first possibility is usher to chase after it. He said his second possibility is not only usher to chase after it, but even if someone offers you cheap for you to then sell it at a profit, he says even that might be usher. Why? Exactly, right? Meaning if someone, okay. And then he said, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda argues about, okay? Right, and then he says, Rabbi Yehuda, remember, says, that, right, argues. The Chachamim say it's only a fisherman, but not an average person. Right? You go fishing, and you catch a non-kosher fish, so according to the Chachamim, what do you have to do? Just throw it back. Right? Because, for you, why bother? Right? This isn't your profession at all. Why do you even have to recoup losses? You went fishing for fun. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Av mishim dan lo lefi darko, lo keach u mocher, even if you happen to get it. Av al bishen otzayit, you're not a hunter, you're not a fisherman. Kevin lo chizar achareim el lefi darko ba'ulo, since you weren't chasing after it, it just happened. Lo keach u mocher lo mechzi kishora. It still doesn't look like merchandising. Afilu lo tzadot an lo keach. Ubevaj lo tein umunato lo kach, as long as it's not your job. Because the second it's your profession, it looks like you're chasing it. Since you do it a lot. Umanato, your profession, rigilato, meaning that's what you do all the time. Right, the Chachamim say if you're not a businessman and you went fishing and then jump on the opportunity to sell the non-kosher fish you happen to catch, the Chachamim say you can't do that because... Listen, right, you went for fun, and now you're choosing to sell it, right? Right, you're using it for a profit. That's different than a fisherman who, he worked hours, right, meant to catch salmon and caught, you know, a catfish, right? He worked all day. He needs to recoup his losses, right? He needs to do something, right? That's a different perspective, okay? Okay, is it a non-traditional case of situation? You always get all the fish? Not clear. Okay. So let's say tomorrow what we should do then, right? Now that we have the Rosh Aurelio, right, who really has a very consistent position, right? What we should do tomorrow is... Yeah, is start by reading the Rosh Aurelio. Once we have his perspective, see how he fleshes it out in the case of the five partners, right? Meaning we have to read the Rosh Aurelio to the end, right? Basically, what I want to do in these shurim is take a few of the mefarshim and flesh them out to the end, right? Rosh Aurelio, we can go Penny Moshe, Mara Fulda, and then I do also want to come back and plug in the Gra, right? Even though the Gra doesn't write as detailed, so you can't, again, and then we should make sure to try to fit it in, even though, again, Rambam, Tosfot, right, all the sheet that we saw in the Bavli are not Mechuyav to fit in the Yerushalmi, because they could think the Bavli is a different perspective, right? But we'll see whether their perspectives can relate to it. And remember, in many ways, the Rosh is similar to the Rambam in that sense, right? And similar, right? Meaning the Rosh, right, the Rambam, we said it's about small quantities versus large quantities, right? We talked about the fact that he clearly thinks it's about perspective, right? And in that sense, it's similar. Are they identical? Not necessarily, right? But the fact that fundamentally Shor is about perspective is how we explain the Rambam, right? Okay, fine. But the Rosh Aurelio, like I said, what's nice about the Rosh Aurelio is already in the Mishnah, he gave you the language to explain, of all things, why Shemitah of Shor of Shemitah gets mixed in with Shor of everything else. Right? Okay.
Except
fine.
For